Hi, I'm Georgia Pierre, and you are watching Black and Nuanced Podcast in HD, a visual extension of my podcast of the same name, which seeks to dispel the idea that all Black people are monolithic. I had to get a little extra because the next guest that I have on, Tap Money, Tap Moolah, Tappity Tap is my nickname for him. Oh, he used to be my former boss when I was in Miami at 99 Dams radio station. Hi.
What's up, sweetie? How are you?
I am doing well. How are you from your balcony in ATL, Sean?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. You know what I'm saying? Working from home today, you know, taking care of some business, doing some, somewhat light, heavy lifting responsibilities from here. But I'm good. I'm good. I can't complain.
I love it. I love it. Tap, getting right into it. So I met you. We met each other in our short stint in Miami. We spent about a year, maybe a little over a year. And you were the assistant program director. You went from North Carolina to Miami, to Atlanta. But when we were in Miami, you were my boss, assistant program director. And that was my first commercial radio station for my time doing college radio. So I consider you to be a radio veteran, right? The one thing that really stood out to me was just how you have grown into now being part of this top 10 market and just even your trajectory. What has that journey been like for you with radio, especially for those that have this idea of what they think working in radio looks like?
It's been long. You know, I've been, you know, it's like every market that I've touched has played a role in every, you know, progression of my career. You know, started at my college radio station at the illustrious the Winston-Salem State University in North Carolina at WNCC FM 90.5. Then had an opportunity to work as a street coordinator and moved up in my career at WJMH in Greensboro, 102 Jams, and then had a short stint in Montgomery, Alabama at WJWZ, 97.9 Jams, and back to Greensboro to 102 Jams. And then, you know, my second tenure at 102 Jams was where it really, really took off for me. I really, really got involved in the programming department, going into music meetings, marketing meetings, and things of that nature, pretty much, you know, working, you know, every day, working in the, you know, with the day-to-day programming process and what have you. And then I really fell in love with it. Opportunity came when a good friend of mine, Boogie D, who was the music director in Greensboro, got his programming director opportunity in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he recommended me to take over his place and to head over the music department and do afternoon drive there. And was from there is where I really dove into it, you know, really seeing what really happens behind the scenes of programming, marketing, and sales when it comes to radio station. And I just fell in love with it. You know, I later got promoted to assistant program director in Greensboro. And then around 2014, you know, I kind of felt like it was time for a change. It was time for a challenge. You know, and it wasn't one incident or a certain conversation, but it was just, you know, you feel that energy, that shift in energy and the movement and what have you, that you feel like, you know, I think I've done all that I can do here. I think it's time for me to step out on a leap of faith. So I went to a smaller market. You know, Greensboro was like a, you know, market 44, maybe, you know, top 50 market, PPM market, you know. And I went down the market to 129, but, you know, it was an opportunity for me to see what I was made of, so to speak. And it was a gentleman by the name of Mac Edwards who took a chance on me and made me program director at a station called WZFX in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Foxy 99. There we had, you know, great success. You know, it's never easy being a new guy coming in trying to implement new things, a new strategy. But, you know, it helped me find out what I was built at, what I was built of. And my success with that station, after a year I was there, I was promoted to ops manager of the urban property. So I was overseeing two radio stations. And we had great rating and revenue success. We were finalists 3 years in a row for the NAB, Urban Station of the Year, going up against markets in New York, Miami, Orlando. And we was market 129, but we were finalists. You know, we were not just nominated. We were finalists 3 years in a row. And then my last year, we won the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Station of the Year. And then, you know, it was a young lady by a programmer by the name of Jill Strada. You know, she was looking for an assistant program director. She took a chance on me and gave me a great opportunity to come down to South Florida to WEDR 99 Jams, where I met some amazing people there, you included, you know, and worked with an amazing, great team there. And it was there where I got to work in a major market where you work with fast-paced, very aggressive, always multitasking. And it kind of prepared me for the opportunity that came where I accepted the programming gig here in Atlanta at WHTA 107.9, Hot 107.9 in Atlanta, which is, you know, by far probably the most influential urban hip-hop station in the country. And, you know, it's just been amazing, you know. And even through COVID, you know, and everything that we're going through with the pandemic, it just blows my mind, the talent that we have here in Atlanta and how everybody's been able to pull together and to be able to work through the challenges that we face, you know, having to work remotely for a lot of people, having to restructure, bring in a new staff and bring in a new team, because unfortunately, because of COVID, we had furloughs and layoffs. And so, you know, people had to do more with less resources, you know, and less bodies and stuff like that. And we've been able to still, you know, perform at a high level. And what I like to call this, you know, black level, top level black excellence. And, you know, I couldn't have done it alone. It was a great supporting staff with my ops manager, Derek Harper, my GM, Tim Davies, and Colby Cole, who's our VP of programming. And like I said, a plethora of people that's just been real supportive in my transition here, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, shout out to you for remembering every damn call letter of the station that you worked at. As you were running it, I was like, okay, like, Tab is on his shit. Like, he remembers everything. Yeah. But to your point, like, Jill took a chance on both of us, right? And I and for however long I was there, I felt like everything was purposeful to lead to the next thing. You know, with you going to Atlanta, the one thing I thought about was like you got there before, like 2 months before everything really went haywire with the pandemic. Radio, I started seeing a trend early, even last year when I was still in South Florida, that like something was going to change, but not in the best way. And so you heard about iHeartMedia doing serious layoffs and these companies trying to hold on to their people. Where do you see radio going at this point in juncture with everything going on? And then what does that look like for like local talent on air versus syndicated talent on air?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it just remains to be seen. I think where the economy goes, like everything else, you know, the radio industry goes, you know, right now the economy, you know, we don't know exactly where it's going to be with this pandemic. And I think a lot of it, like I told everybody, a lot of it, I feel personally, is going to, we'll probably depend and rely on this upcoming election. You know, and depending, you know, which candidate wins the presidency in the White House and the Senate and what have you, you know, there's one person in who's in office now that, you know, has, I'll be quite honest with you, has put his own personal interest before the country. And you have another candidate who's putting safety over there, you know, over dollars. So, you know, it just really depends, you know, who's going to occupy the White House and see what happens. One president says, you know, one president candidate says, hey, you know, don't be afraid of COVID. And one person is relying on science. And if he relies on science, and if the scientist says, hey, we need to have another economical shutdown, then there's no telling what's going to happen. That's with any industry. So mm-hmm. it kind of remains to be seen. I think what we could do to play a role in that is be socially responsible, you know, wear that mask, social distance, make sure you're not in crowded situations or put yourself in harm's ways. And for those who have contacted this dreaded virus and those who have passed, you know, it's so unfortunate because I think so many things could have been done and should have been done. Unfortunately, those steps weren't taken by our government because there's no, what I would say, national plan or rollout mandate of what we should do. So many different voices, you know what I'm saying? And so everybody don't know what direction to take. But, you know, I think a lot of it would do with the upcoming election and how things will fall out from there. But it's no secret, you know, we're not out the woods yet. But radio, I think radio will survive. Back to your question, I think radio will survive because, for one, radio is free. And, you know, people, one of the main reasons people love listening to local radio is, one, they get to hear, you know, their favorite songs, and two, they have a relationship, a kinship with the on-air talent, with the on-air personalities. You know, they really buy into, you know, what the on-air personalities do outside of the radio station, especially if you follow these talents on their social media platforms and stuff like that. You get a cool idea of who they are outside the radio station. So I think that element, I think we got to try to remember that type of element, even though syndication might be more cost effective in smaller markets and stuff like that. But when it comes to, you know, localization, you can't beat local, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also a great challenge for us programmers that, you know, do run syndication programs. How can we make it customized to our local market where, you know, it feels like it's happening right here in our city? So, you know, it's it remains to be seen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think about, you know, I think I had a culture shock when I went from college radio to commercial radio and really seeing that just because you hear people on air and they're telling they're this, like, radio's still a business. And
it's a very big business.
Oh my gosh, I was like, oh, this is not what I expected. For those that want to get into radio, tap, like, say, even on like a program director's radar such as yourself, what could they do now during these times of COVID to really sharpen their skill sets or just make themselves very, like just an asset or to stand out?
I think it's a couple of things, and it's something that you could do on your own. One of the things that's easy is to stay in and know what's going on with the culture, what's going on with the current environment, you know, just be, well-read, you know, and what's going on. Know the trends, you know what's happening. Know the things that's going to be ahead of the curve. Do things of that nature. Be able to multitask. You know, we're looking for talent that could be more than just on air. You know, somebody that could do production. When I mean production, I produce spots, so we'll do really good production with commercials or things of that nature. Those that are creative. You know, radio, believe it or not, is in the digital phase right now. You know, so having a good understanding of the social media platforms and knowing how to operate in that space and making sure that you don't get yourself in trouble legally and stuff like that, you know, saying so, you know, just be smart, you know, and just be willing to learn and be willing to ask questions and everything like that and put the work in, you know. It's I've been in this game 25 years and, you know, it's always work. It's always a learning experience, but it's something that I love. You know what I'm saying? And be willing, you know, understand that this thing is not going to happen overnight. You know what I mean? And it's going to be, you know, some sacrifice. You know, be willing to sacrifice, put the work in. You know, you might not be able to spend, you know, time with your family as much. You might not be able to do radio or TV where you grew up at. You know what I'm saying? You might have to travel to, like I did, to the small markets like Montgomery, Alabama, and Fayetteville, North Carolina, before you get the opportunity to do things in those markets that are marquee, like the Miamis, Atlanta, things like that.
And the New York.
Yeah, and of course, NYC. NYC, LA, Chicago, Philly, DC, Detroit. Yeah. I can go on and on and on. San Francisco, Seattle.
Portland. Y'all better quit that. In the top 50 markets right now. Yes. Okay. Yeah. What's something that you said, and I've also actively seen it, you know, you have really been vocal and making sure your station has been on the front lines of, you know, exchanging or sharing information and not misinformation, definitely in the times that we're in now. You know, what does that look like for you all? And like, how important of a role does radio play in the season of misinformation right now with this man in the White House?
It plays a serious role. You know, you got to understand, you know, our building is right across the street from the CNN building. So, you know, when the civil unrest happened, I happened to be at the office on that Friday evening. And, you know, we was able to, you know, share immediately, you know what I'm saying, the safety procedures that people should take, you know what I'm saying, and let them know, hey, you know, there's a curfew mandate, you know, the martyr shut down at such and such time and stuff like that. And it's also the dedication of the on-air talent. Like, they want to be able to share information to people in our community so they can stay safe, so they can stay informed and stay entertained at the same time, you know. And, you know, it's very, very important that we put out stuff that is accurate. You know, we want to be first, but being accurate is the most important, and making sure that we're telling the truth in an unbiased way, you know. And one thing that I will say about the company that I work for, which is a Black-owned company in Radio One, Urban One, is that, you know, they're serious and very serious about, you know, sending out information to our community that is accurate, that is not of propaganda, and it was just pretty much based on fact, you know, and they mean business about it. That's one of the things I admire, because this is the first time in my career, in my long career, that I've had the opportunity to work with an African, all Black-owned African-American company. And it's a sight to see. It's a lot of Black excellence, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Black excellence, you know, Atlanta is deemed as the Black Mecca, and diversity and inclusion have all of a sudden become all these buzzwords more than ever. How do we continue to support Black businesses, especially during these times? And then with you living in Atlanta, Black businesses, Black people.
Just go out there, man, put your dollar in the community. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, stop asking for the hookups, stop asking for discounts. You know, when you go to the Prada or Bloomingdale's or Nordstrom, do you ask them for a discount? You know what I'm saying? You willing to pay that full price? You know, do the same thing, you know, because, you know, Black businesses got a lot more obstacles to face and hurdles to jump over than most other businesses. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times these businesses have a hard time getting loans or secure loans and things of that nature. A lot of times they have a lot of unfair business practices being done to them. So if we want to continue to see our Black community to flourish, to bring back the days of the Black Wall Street, you know, in the 1930s out there in Oklahoma, then we got to support our own, you know what I'm saying? And we got to demand, you know, the great services from our Black businesses, and the Black position deserve and demand, you know what I'm saying, for us to you know, to patronize those businesses, you know, and it is what it is. But, you know, we just have to get out there, do your research, and do whatever. And even if you know, if the particular business is they fell short on serving you and stuff like that, let them know in a healthy way. Like, hey, I think it'd be a good idea to do this, or maybe you should try doing that, or I think your customer service can do some improvement in this area, instead of us just getting on our social media and blasting them out, because we don't do that with nobody others, with the other businesses. You know, you look at other communities outside of African-American community, they are the most Hispanic, with the Hispanics, the Jewish, or any other.
They're really supportive of their own community.
They're very supportive of their own. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's true. So, so when you hire me for some digital production work, my price is my price tab.
Yeah, I got you. I understand. I got a budget, because I got a business to run, so I'm not telling my budget either. Remember that.
You know, I love you. You get the Tappity Tap discount. Going into our last segment, all of the things. Tap, how are you taking care of yourself, man? What's your self-care routine? And the reason why I wanted to hone in on this, because you are a Black man doing the things, having to still be out here on the front lines taking care of stuff. But I also think a lot of times Black men keep a lot of things to themselves and don't want to be vulnerable. But I there's so much I admire in you, and I really just wanted you to kind of share your perspectives on that from you know, your perspective as a Black man.
I think one of the things I do, I remind myself to myself that I matter. And I matter to a lot of people. And for me to be able to take care of the people that I love and matter to me, I got to make sure I take care of myself. Even if it means putting my phone on silent for a minute and not answering those calls from the people that I care about the most, because you need your time. You need your time. You need your time to decompress. You know, you need to find whatever is your zen, you know, saying, figure that out. For me, I like going in a sauna. I love going in a sauna just to sweat it out, decompress, and just whatever. I love doing that. You know, I've been on a health journey for the past few years where I've been able to reverse. A lot of people don't know this, but I was type 2 diabetic for a long time. I'm no longer that. I've lost a total of 42 pounds just by, you know, taking care of my body, investing in my body, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, just putting the right things in my body and stuff like that. You know, do things that I want to do that's fun for me, whatever that may be, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm adventurous. I like, because of COVID, you know, I love traveling, but since COVID have not been able to do none of that. But, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff locally, you know, where you're, you know, that's it's a great time to explore the cool things in your own backyard, in your own city, in your own community. It's a lot of cool things, you know, that you could do that can help you take your mind off a lot of stuff. And then I think what's more important, what was probably the most important to me, is my relationship spiritually with the Most High. You know, I take time to meditate. I don't start my day without meditating or reading a word of encouragement or something from the book to help me get my day started. And I think that sets the tone for the rest of the day. And then try to remind myself to try to be good to other people, because you don't know what that next person is going through. You have no idea. Like he said, especially as Black men, as Black people all together, we just have so much on our shoulders that we bear. You know, no other race has bear what we bear. And we still come to the table with a smile. You know, we have a forgiving kindred spirit, you know, even through all this, through the George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and so many names, you know. So, you know, it's just in us, you know. And but we also have that button in our DNA that says, okay, enough is enough. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's like, you know, people in our community are saying enough is enough. Stop killing us. Stop hurting us. And start brutalizing us. Because what would this world be without us? Let's be honest. What would this world be without us? So, you know, I think self-care is the best care. You know, you can't take care of nobody else that you love if you don't take care of yourself. And, you know, those are just some of the practices I use, and it helps for me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, you know, my last conversation I had with someone, we were just talking about that as far as, like, just with us, like, you know, Black men and women are two ships passing in the night fighting different battles, right? And so we got to do everything we can to continue to support and uplift each other.
Yeah, fighting different battles, but the same war.
War. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Come on, Aesop. Come on. Aristotle. Last question. What, if any, revelations have you had during the pandemic?
Meaning?
Anything that's kind of like, oh man, like, I don't know if this would have happened, you know, if Rona didn't have you sitting still. Because I know, like, there's a lot of things that, you know, always on the go, you're not thinking, you're just moving and shaking, but Rona has forced us to really sit and be more still. And so I don't know if there's any revelations in like your life or anything, like where you're going or where you would like to go. Mm-hmm. That's happened.
I think the biggest revelation is to have gratitude and to me personally invest in patience, you know, but especially just having gratitude, you know, regardless how crazy and how upside down your life might be. You know, you have a conversation with somebody else or look at the news and it is crazy. It's so there's probably a billion people that would play places with us in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. You know, so just gratitude. You know, I've been able to take a step back and just smell the roses, just be grateful. It's the simplest things now that just like, you know, means a whole lot. You know what I mean? Whether it be a text from an old friend I haven't heard from a while or, you know, or even when, you know, your peers say you're doing a good job or how happy you are. It's like, you know, one of my old, my publicist, you know, Shanta, she sent me a text today and she was just like, yo, I'm so happy for you. Just looking through your life, through your social posts, I could tell that Atlanta really agrees with you and I can see it, you know? And she said, I've been following you ever since you left Greensboro, but I've never seen you more content, more happy than you have been. And I never really thought of it because everywhere I went, I had a ball. But I had to sit back and be like, wow, you know, I really feel like, yeah, this was it. I don't think it was a coincidence that I was chosen to come to Atlanta during this pandemic. I think I was, you know, ordained by the Most High to weather this storm with these great talented people at Radio One Atlanta and to help lead this team to the other side. Because once we get to the other side, things are going to be great. Especially the things that we're doing now is great. You know, a lot of things that we're doing is unprecedented during this pandemic. And I think once we get to the other side, you know, it's life is going to be really, really good. And I think it's, you know, it's going to be something to watch. So definitely I would say gratitude. You know, I just, just think, you know, wake it up, you know, even if you're not in the best of spirits, man, you know, just wake up. You know, it's over 212,000 people that didn't wake up today because of this COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, you know, it's gratitude. Definitely gratitude.
Yeah. To echo her sentiments, Tap, you know, Atlanta looks so good on you. And I joke you about the posts and sometimes being like, oh, T.I.'s party, birthday party. Oh, Tap, what you doing? Like, what? Young Thug? You went, ooh, cheesy. All right, Tap, show off, but in all honesty.
Small flex. Like my
just
man.
Just a little.
My man Slimby said, I see you small flexing over there.
It's, you look lighter. And I met you a year ago, but I just, there's something that looks different for you in Atlanta, but even just knowing your demeanor and your energy and, you know, you have this way with people when they meet you, they feel safe, they feel seen, they feel heard. And it's not lost on me, Tap, that you make time for me to calm, you know, talking to me, like supporting my mom's coconut oil, all these things, Tap. If you need some, by the way, let me know.
About to re-up.
Please, listen. But I'm just so grateful for you. And I know the lives that you have touched, they probably feel the same way. So I definitely agree with her. And you know, Tepper, I can't wait to see more and what happens next with everything that you're doing.
I'll tell you what, yeah, it's hard being an African-American, not feeling inspired to be in a city like Atlanta. Not saying Atlanta is perfect, but it is definitely an amazing example of what Black excellence is about. I mean, you see, you know, beautiful Black men, women, and children, you know what I'm saying, that represents us so beautifully. You know, you see, you know, it's not, you know, so odd looking or crazy to see somebody in a really, really nice car. You know, nobody's asking, well, I wonder what they do for a living, you know, whatever, you know, it's not like that at all. And if you find yourself in the right circle, you have people in this city that would definitely love to help you and bring you up, which I appreciate. I mean, they've welcomed me, you know, with open arms since I've been here. And I'm not from here. I don't have no family here, no roots here, or nothing like that. but they have welcomed me with open arms, and I'm very appreciative of it. And as much as people say they've gotten from me, I've gotten a lot more from them, because they've inspired me also in ways that I can't even thank them, you know, just, you know, because, you know, it's just, it's all about relationships, and then it's all about, you know, doing what's right, you know what I'm saying? And just being a decent, good person. It doesn't cost you anything to be a decent, good person. And I get that from my parents, and I pray that I'm doing them proud, and they looking down happy. And I'm so happy for what you're doing, you know, taking the bull by the horns and doing your thing and letting your voice be heard, and being an inspiration for young Black women, you know what I'm saying, that you could do this, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited for what's about to happen for you, sweetie. And it's going to be dope. It's going to be a dope journey.
Yes, cheers to that. So I'm going to come down to Atlanta and drinks on you. Okay.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. Alkaline water for everybody. What's up?
Yeah. Tap, how can they find you, follow your flex on social and all that jazz, and the station that you work at?
Okay. Well, you can follow the station. It's on IG, Hot 107.9 ATL. You can follow me on IG as well, Tapmula, TAPMULA 1079. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tap Money, TAPMONEY.
How did you land Tap Money on Twitter? You were able to land that username just like that.
Just yeah. I was like first to it. Shout out to my man B Dot, because B Dot was like telling me, oh, you need to get on Twitter. You need to get on Twitter when Twitter first came out. Like, he came was just out. Like, yeah. So I just got it. Boom. There it is.
And locked it in. I love it. I love it. Tap, forever and a day. I love you.
Love you more.
Thank you. And, you know, this ain't the last time we link up. So,
re-up.
Hey. All right, Tap, you have a good day, and self-care all day. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.